Hempology 101 is a student-run organization here to educate the public about the benefits of hemp and cannabis. Fast fact! Hemp is a renewable, sustainable source of food and fiber. Fast fact! Your body contains anandamide, which is part of the same family of substances as THC. To learn more, look us up on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/Hempology101UBC. Or come to one of our great events. And don't forget, legalization through education.
Do you like Friends? Well, we like you. So become a member and get a Friends of CITR card. Not only does it make you special, but it gives you all kinds of deals with our friends on Main Street, including 10% off at Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear, Red Cat Records, Woo Vintage Clothing, and more. Visit CITR.ca for more, or come check us out in the Nest.
From April 25th to May 1st, coming out to the Versus Festival of Words, a showcase of written, spoken, and sung performances and discussions to celebrate the transformative power of words. There's a different event for everyone, from teen angst poetry, panels about community building, and the Canadian Individual Poetry Slam. Check out versusfestival.ca for all the details, the schedule, and tickets.
Unearthing the depths of contemporary cassettes and vinyl undergrounds, ranging from DIY bedroom pop and garage rock all the way to harsh noise and, of course, drone. Pop Drone, every Wednesday at 10 to 11:30 a.m. at CITR 101.9 FM.
My advice to young girls would be, go home after school.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory at UBC Vancouver. My name is Simon Welton, and coming up in the next half hour is, as always, the White Noise Show. That's a half hour of sketch comedy for your listening pleasure. And afterwards will be the White Noise After Show, this week hosted by myself and featuring special guest friend host slash Connor. How you doing, Connor?
Yeah, doing well. That was a very bit of a liberal use of the term half hour of comedy. I mean, I'm not trying to, like, you know, subvert what we do, but it's really more like 22 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, but, like, isn't every show on television? It's you know.
Yeah, but we don't play ads. Well, actually, we do, but not like that.
And we play a bit of music, but
we play some jams.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for pointing out our inability to quite finish.
All I'm saying is that we have a reputation, and we should just be a bit more honest about things that we do.
Coming up in the next half hour is 22 minutes of comedy for your listening pleasure
and some music.
Okay. And before we do get underway.
Get a weird with it, man. We got to get a weird.
I will remind you that you can keep up with us throughout the week on Twitter and Facebook at White Noise UBC. And you can also check out the best of White Noise at whitenoisecomedy.podbean.com.
But also, Fun Drive's still going on.
No, it isn't.
Donate.
Why are you saying that? It's not on. That's just terrible advice. Please disregard everything Connor says, especially that. But yeah, without further ado or interruptions from Connor,
donate.
Here is the White Noise Show. Warning: the following programming contains adult subject matter and some strong language. It is a work of satirical fiction. All characters and advertisements are completely fabricated. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight's episode is brought to you in part by Marty's Morticians. Once you die, we'll tie your tie. First up tonight is an excerpt from everyone's favourite diarist, Terence Tripoli.
Dear Diary, I had the worst dining experience of my life today. Besides Mum's funeral, catering was atrocious, but this was a close second. I had to wait half an hour to get a table for one. There was no hostess. There was just a massive security guard screaming at me not to touch the rope, which wasn't fair. I didn't make it all velvety and soft. Then I finally sit down and some waitress comes over, not wearing a shirt, which has to be a health code violation, and starts dancing on my table. I asked her to see a menu, but she just ignored me and starts twerking in my face and then has the nerve to ask me for a tip. She hadn't even brought me my Smirnoff Ice yet. So I go over to the barman and I ask for a menu. The barman says they only do breast and thighs, which was annoying as I had wings for lunch. Reluctantly, I ordered some plain ones and I returned to my seat. Then two waitresses with no makeup on come over and ask me if I want to dance. I mean, the music was awful, so there was no way I was dancing. So I went to the bathroom to get away from the noise. I just can't stand that song, Pour Some Sugar on Me. I sit down in the cubicle and notice someone has made a hole in the side of it, which was fine until this massive snake lunged at me through it. So I kicked it hard in the eye and I ran for it. The snake screamed, which seemed odd, but I didn't look back. I charged for the door. I hurdled the velvety rope and I sprinted up the street, which was impressive as my pants were still around my ankles. What a disappointment. If I wanted bad servers and partially naked servers, I would have gone for dinner at my parents' house.
I'm not a fan of strip clubs. It's just being charged to get a closer look at the women I'm not having sex with. Next up tonight, someone's vaping.
It's just so much better for you.
Really?
Oh yes, all the high, none of the damage. Oh,
that just like doesn't seem possible.
Neither did a Muslim leader of the United States, but we got one.
Obama isn't Muslim.
No, but Joe Mohammed Biden is.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, but still, like, vaping doesn't seem right to me. I think we should just have to give it up.
No, this is the modern world. We can have our cake and inhale it.
All right, fine then. Just pass me the crack rock.
I've never smoked crack. I've licked it. Next up tonight, someone's buying something.
Excuse me, good sir. Are you the gentleman that can acquire firearms for a well-paying fellow like myself?
You what, me?
Got any guns I can buy?
Well, what do you need?
Well, what would you recommend for a beginner?
Well, what's it for?
Oh, shooting cans, bottles, people who recycle, you know, that sort of thing.
Well, you want a Glock?
A Glock? Is it American?
Austrian. It's killed more people than Hitler.
Oh, nice. Oh, yes, lovely. Wait, do I get a discount if I buy the floor model?
Oh, no, man. It's like the only one we got.
Really?
Yeah, and be careful. It's loaded.
Oh, I'll take it.
Oh, yeah, brilliant. All right, so that'll be like 500.
That's cheap.
100.
50,000, yes. No problem, no problem.
Yeah, so cash or credit?
Actually, today I think it's free. Don't you?
Oh, fuck, not again.
Never sell anyone a loaded gun. That probably shouldn't need saying. Next up tonight, it's breakfast.
Eat up, Al. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day.
Really?
Pardon?
Why?
You need the nutrition.
I need sugar-covered cooked corn served with the milk from another species?
Sometimes we have porridge.
Only when you're not hungover.
Just eat your cornflakes, for God's sake.
If breakfast is so great, why do all the major holidays ignore it? There's no Thanksgiving breakfast. No one celebrates with Christmas brunch. Well, maybe wankers.
I don't know, it's just a saying.
But you chose to say it. You just go around saying things without knowing if they're true?
Yes, and when you're an adult, you'll understand why.
Why?
Because that's what everyone does.
I don't have breakfast, but I do enjoy sinner. It's between supper and dinner, and for the full effect, must be eaten whilst masturbating to your neighbour's wife.
So, how was your vacation?
Oh, it was amazing. Las Vegas is insane. I must have blown like 2 grand, I swear.
I once dropped 50 grand in Monaco, one night, betting on who'd win Dancing with the Stars.
What did you get up to?
We went skydiving.
Tandem?
Yeah.
I've been solo, first time. Didn't even need the instructions. Just went on instinct.
Did you see any shows?
Oh, loads. Penn and Teller was my favourite.
I've met Penn and Teller once. Blew them away with my magic. They nicknamed me Merlin too.
Did you get to relax by the pool lots?
Oh, yeah.
I once got so relaxed that I actually slipped into a coma.
Did you sample any of the ladies of the night?
No, oh, no. I'm still taking penicillin from the last time.
I once made 6 women orgasm simultaneously whilst chugging a 2-6 of moonshine.
Look, mate, can I just ask you something?
Sure.
Who the hell are you?
Just a bloke. With a massive cock.
Viva, viva Las Vegas!
I don't like to brag, but it's hard not to when you have as much back hair as me. Next up tonight, Elvis and Dolly are back!
Welcome back, Elvis and Dolly.
Howdy.
Hey, Fugly, what's the crack-a-lackin'?
What?
I'm just calling them as I see them. I realized I've been holding back, and it's ruining my blood pressure. That and the deep-fried squirrel burgers.
Okay. Well, your mission today is to infiltrate a Silvio Berlusconi bunga bunga party and take compromising photos of the former Italian Prime Minister himself.
What's a bunga bunga party?
Exactly what it sounds like.
So it's like a Italian reggae party?
No, it's a sex party with prostitutes.
And you want us to take photos?
Yes. This is how we keep the price of olive oil down.
Man, these Italian hills are gorgeous.
Yeah, I prefer American hills. You mean tits, right?
No, the mountains. Look out the window, goddammit.
Ah, so what? Unless there's a kick-ass president on the side, I don't give a fuck.
So, what have you been doing this last month?
Ah, the usual. Eating, drinking, sexing, sexting, sixing.
Sixing?
You know, it's where you suck your own dick and then you shape like a 6.
Dear God! Can you actually do that?
Well, I had a rib removed like Michael Jackson, but I still couldn't reach. I could only wipe it on my forehead.
Ugh, you really are working with no filter.
You goddamn right. Man, your boobs are sweating.
Oh, no, the right one's just leaking. I need to take them in for a service.
So how the hell are we gonna get in?
We could pretend to be guests.
We could use C4.
This is meant to be a reconnaissance mission, no casualties.
Not even a single henchman?
Well, I'm sure one won't hurt. A small one. But don't tell your dad. I mean Agent Lexington.
No worries, thanks, Mom. I mean Dad. Dolly! How about this guy?
No, he's cute. I want to kill him.
Fine.
Hee-yah!
Ah! Oh, right in the ass.
Oh, shit. I was aiming for his dick.
He's coming this way.
Where's my other knife?
He's getting closer. Oh, man, he looks pissed.
Aha!
Oh, that time you hit the dick.
There's something satisfying about watching a man bleed from his crotch.
Now it's my turn.
Ooh, that guy, the one against the wall. It's a clear shot, and we can climb in that open window.
Perfect. Say hello to Prince for me.
Oh, shit, not the C4!
Holy shit, is that Silvio?
What happened to the wall?
Dolly, quick, take a dick pic!
Smile, Silvio.
Oh, for goodness sake, just buy a picture from our official photographer like everyone else.
Hey, we don't buy anything that ain't American. Except cars, electronics, cigars, scotch, Olympic athletes, all the shit that's made in China.
I don't buy Chinese goods. You can't guarantee their factory workers are free range. Next up tonight is an advert.
New from the people who brought you the best-selling book, 10 Steps to Hairiness,
and the critically acclaimed weight loss regime, This Is Not a Typo, Get Lipo, and of course, the ultimate workout video series, Pee 90 Times on the Picture of Your Ex, comes the brand new interactive instructional video series, Making Friends with Clickbait. In 10 short 9-hour videos, we explain how to draw people into the conversation with the perfect openers, such as...
Hi, these are 8 things you didn't know about Kim Kardashian's cat.
For some reason, I'm curious. Go on.
And...
Hey, want to hear 5 stock market secrets the bankers don't want you to know?
Is this a trick question?
And of course...
Hey, I left my 3-year-old and a hungry pit bull alone for an afternoon. You will never guess what happened.
You will never be alone again. But all your friends will permanently feel slightly let down. So get it now and start making friends with Clickbait. Warning, side effects may include irritable friend, irritable bowels, cheapened conversation, world star hip hop, spam, webcam porn, spyware, phishing, and anal leakage.
I hate clickbait adverts. That's why I started a petition to prosecute those who make them. I call it jailbait. Next up tonight, Carl and Neil are back.
Hey guys, I was just wondering if... Oh, Jesus Christ! Neil! Mum! What are you doing with my toothbrush?
Oh, shit. Hey, Carl. What can I do for you?
Well, first off, take my toothbrush out of you.
Oh, yeah.
And make sure you give it a good rinse before you put it back.
Oh, calm down. Of course I will. It's my toothbrush as well. So what do you want?
I just wanted to let you... It's still in there!
Yeah, it appears to be wedged.
Oh, God. Oh, I just wanted to let you know that Jerry Springer turned down our offer to be on the show. He's already done an I'm Shagging My Mate's Mum episode 64 times.
Shit. What about Mary Povich?
Oh, he just asked me to send him a picture.
And did you?
Yeah, and now he won't stop sending me dick pics.
Well, don't forget to forward them to me.
Oh, but Neil, what are we going to do for food?
I think it's about time we nick some jewelry, like those ocean guys.
Who? SpongeBob SquarePants? What, I think he's more of a sea guy.
No, the film with Brad Pitt and George Clooney.
Oh, right. Yeah, Ocean's 13. Cool, look at that tiny bank.
That's an ATM, Carl. Would you focus on holding the rope so I can abseil down this building?
All right, hurry up. You weigh a ton.
Half a ton, to be exact. All right, in position. Now I just need to cut a hole in the glass.
Oh, hurry up.
Oh, I'm gonna sneeze.
No. Don't cut me, man. Don't cut me.
Now stop fucking my mum!
Unlucky Neil. Maybe next time, don't put your life in the hands of a man whose mum you are regularly violating. Next up tonight is an excerpt from the documentary of my life as a child. Blackmore, Beards, B.O. and Backney.
Would the pair of you just sit still?
Oh, Mum, please stop talking to your press.
So where do you want to go in town?
Oh, can we go to the arcade? And McDonald's? Oh, and that alley where that man got stabbed?
We only have time for 2 things.
Fine, I wasn't hungry anyway.
So how you doing in school?
Oh, loads better. I only have to wear the muzzle at break times now.
Did you make it onto the footy team?
No. I went to the tryouts, but teacher told me I wasn't fit enough. He only wanted sexy players.
Typical. Try rugby. Those guys will fancy anything.
How's your job?
Well, cleaning houses isn't as glamorous as it used to be. But I saw an ad for a well-paying, easy job today that I'm applying for. It's £25 an hour to be a fluffer. That's silly money for straightening cushions.
Jesus! For £25 an hour, I'd suck a cock.
Richard! That's disgusting. You're only meant to blow on them, that's why it's called a blowjob.
Ah, right, yeah, I mean, that makes way more sense.
Honestly, I don't even know where you get such a vile mouth. probably from that lazy fucking knobhead you call Dad.
Who?
The man that lives with us.
Oh, that's his name. I've been calling him Dan. My father was a man of many patients, because he used to be an unlicensed psychologist. He just nicked his ideas off Frasier. That's the end of our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, starring the voice talents of Connor Neckleput, Caitlin Docking, and Simon Welton.
Guest writing by Connor Neckleput.
Alright, there you go. That was the White Noise Show, but I hope you enjoyed that. Did you enjoy it, Connor?
Yeah, no, it's always a good time, Simon. I'm not sure why you keep asking me.
It's just a starter of conversation after we've finished that.
You know
segment.
What? I thought the voice acting from the one person in particular was actually a bit poor this week.
Oh, you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were pretty... Yeah, actually, the bit where we did that one joke where during the advert and you have to say... I left my 3-year-old and a pit bull together, and you never guess what happened. Seriously, you recorded that 3 times, and none of them were that good. Like, I had to, like, readjust it because it was so mumbly, the
whole
thing.
Well, that's just the first time I thought went all right, and then you're like, slow down. I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, dude, you were flying yesterday. Did you have a bunch of caffeine or something?
I don't drink caffeine.
Really?
Not, like, actively, not, like, intentionally.
Man.
I just inject it.
Just rectally inject it.
Whoa, okay.
Because
yeah.
You know, everyone knows that's the best way to do it.
Well, so. You know what? Like, I don't need you to spill my secrets to everyone.
Okay. Yeah, no, I thought it was all right. I mean, it's funny because I was so sleep-deprived on Monday writing this.
Yeah, no, I can tell.
But there's still some acceptable gags in there. But
I think you definitely took it. Some of the sketches and some of the lines were a bit further than I've seen you go before, just in terms of the vulgarity.
Yeah, it definitely was a bit more of a vulgar one than we've had in the past. But, like, I mean, I don't know, the 60 thing I thought was just genius, man. Like, if that isn't a thing already, I don't know if it was. I didn't look it up. I don't know how it came.
Should we go on Urban Dictionary right now?
Yeah, okay, maybe we'll do that during the music.
Sure, yeah.
We'll put some music on first. So we're going to play first tonight, I think. Let's going to start with a little bit from Cave Boy. So this is Monochrome. We'll be back very soon. We're going to have the White Noise After Show coming up, which is, as I'm sure you'll know by now, a bit of a mixture of kick-ass music. And, of course, a bit of chit-chat between me and Connor as we discuss some issues from the show and some of the sort of current events and things that are knocking around the universe and sort of doing a bit of feature and analysis. So stay tuned for that. We'll be right back after this. This is Cave Boy with Monochrome.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. That was the 1977 with We Do, not the 1977, not Death the 19, from Above,
not the 1975,
not the 1975. Yeah. It is just 1977. And it's, yeah, she's a great sort of, she is a solo artist, but she doesn't go by her original name.
Well, so her original name wasn't 1977.
No, surprisingly. It's Julie Kendall from Toronto, Canada. And yeah, it's a really cool album, that Twister.
Yeah, she's got a good voice.
So check that out if you get a chance. All right, so you're listening to the White Noise After Show, hosted by myself, Simon Welton, and joined by special guest slash host slash whatever, Connor Neckleput.
I think we should just, you know, keep this special host sort of
I think you might get too comfortable if I just call you special host.
I'm already in a chair. Don't think I get too much more comfortable, to be honest.
You'll start lying down.
Yeah, like, start rubbing my feet.
All right, so our first topic for tonight, sir, is jewelry the most absurd thing that we sort of revere as a society, something we put value in that, you know, of all the things we put value in, it feels to me like the one thing that in truth has very little value. I mean, yes, a diamond is useful as a drill bit and because it's so hard and has value in that sense, but I wouldn't, you know, as just
Can you get a diamond drill bit? I would want that just for the eccentricity of it.
No, but they use, like,
you break diamond with diamond, yeah.
Yeah, and other really, really hard materials use, like, diamond-headed drill bits to cut them. But in terms of just, you know, I'm talking more in the sense of people wearing it and, you know.
What, wearing diamond drill bits?
yes, yeah, I think everyone except you got what I meant there, but yeah, so what do you think? What do you think, Connor?
Yeah, I mean, I think you raise an interesting point in that precious metals and jewels have for a long time, for centuries.
Yeah,
centuries,
I mean, it's something we've millennia always, have,
yeah,
society
have always been
has it.
Valued. And yeah, you wonder why it is that we've fixated upon this subject in particular. Of course, I mean, like, why would you get a jewel or a piece of jewelry or a gemstone? I mean, they do look, I mean, each to their own, but they do look quite nice. They're useless, really, as you said. They have no practical use, but look quite nice, which makes you think that besides a status symbol because of supply and demand disequilibrium, usually people who have lots of power or money or both have these, and they become a bit of a status symbol more than necessarily just a function of aesthetic. But originally, someone had to have gone, ooh, that looks nice, I want that. Before someone else went, oh, I want that too, but I can't afford it, or I can't get it back from you, there's not enough of them. So yeah, it's curious how this thing that just is beautiful or is pretty, and yeah, is a natural combination of molecules, a mineral in the earth, gains this kind of reverence. So perhaps is some sort of vanity or some sort of...
Well, it is. It's, you know, it's either, as you say, it's just a show of status it's sort of a show of arrogance, really, and that you're trying to suggest that you're above other people by having these precious metals. And yeah, like, it like goes back to... like, it's weird because every society has it, though. Like, it's not just a Western thing. It's not, like, the Egyptians,
in India,
everyone, like China, like, you know, gold and all these precious metals
have doubloons.
always been revered. And they are so pointless. And it would seem so strange if you don't have much money to invest in that sort of thing.
Question, so if you were offered a diamond, a jade, an emerald, whatever gemstone you'd like, whatever... just totally for free, would you take it?
Well, yeah, and then sell it to some other idiot, because I would use that money to buy stuff I could use or, you know, need.
So it revisit the question. That's a good point. Well said. If gemstones and diamonds and all these kinds of beautiful objects didn't actually have any kind of value, they were just kind of pretty. There's loads of them around. Like, there's no longer an issue of there's like not enough. Like, everyone has one if they want. And you don't have one, someone says, hey, would you like to, one of these several ones I found on the ground? Mm. Would you say, oh, sure, like, okay, oh, I could put this in my house, I guess, or I could, I don't know, like...
Yeah, probably not, though, because I'm not a particularly materialistic person. I don't have a lot of trinkets and things like that in my house. Like,
except for all those diamonds.
Yeah, except for that diamond collection on the wall. You know, like, I have things like cheap posters and paintings and things like that. But even then, like, they they bring out something in
Emerald
you
plate
when you
condoms.
Look them. Oh yeah, no, don't forget those. But so yeah, I mean, it's not really my sort of thing. Maybe you know, I don't wear a lot of other jewelry. I don't wear when I was a kid, I used to wear like friendship bracelet things, and I used to make them out of like hemp and stuff. As we were, you know, like buy a ball of hemp and then tie them up. They're always really itchy though.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we like. I at some point was a bit more maybe interested in that sort of thing, but no, I don't think I would. I mean, the only time that it would then be of any benefit is if I did want to use it for, to ask someone to marry you in a very traditional way with a ring or something. That'd be the only time.
I've got an emerald. Would you like to marry me?
It's the only time I could think of needing one.
Oh, no,
one.
You like jades. Oh, no.
I know. Would you? Would you have piles of diamonds around?
Well, it's interesting. I don't want to have piles of them, but I'd probably have a couple and just use them around the house. Cause, I mean, I like to look at nice things, generally. I mean, I'm an expert on aesthetic, or I have a great sense for interior design or anything like that. But if I could just arrange them in a little way that seemed kind of nice, I'd probably do it. If they were totally, worthless, essentially. But it's interesting, because Voltaire actually wrote a little bit on this topic in his novella Candide, the story of this impoverished, I think German, who goes on all these crazy adventures to find, you know, the philosophy of life, which takes him to South America, to this, to the city of gold, El Dorado, this fictional city, where he's chasing, because he's from Europe, he's chasing gold and all these jewels, and this mountainous plateau country he visits, there's gemstones and jewels and gold and stuff lying everywhere. Kids use them as marbles. That's the function that they possess. They're so plenty that no one even, yeah, they're a joke. No one uses anything serious. And so it's interesting that he touched on that idea, which connects to what you said. Yeah, they don't actually have a function. And in a society where they're worthless, because there is so many things, touching on the idea of, yeah, is it just a status thing? Is it just there's so little supply and there's so great a demand that only the most powerful can get that and reinforce their own kind of ego and vanity? He wrote that back in whenever he was alive, I guess late 1700s. So yeah, it's interesting that he had a very similar kind of frame of mind on that kind of issue. Not that that was the issue of the book, but just one of those things that he touched upon.
Interesting, yeah. I mean, and in our modern day setting, another thing that we should consider with buying jewelry is the fact that there is still a lot of sources of jewelry which are used to fuel conflict. In the same way that drugs are sold to buy weapons in conflicts in South America and in the Middle East, the same thing is done with jewelry, especially like in Africa and the Congo. That's why there's a lot of war going on there, because you're constantly supplying money to buy weapons to continue the fight. And so, yeah, like that's one thing you should always, always do if you ever do happen to buy jewelry, is consider where it's coming from.
Especially in demand, sort of low supply kind of product, luxury products especially. I mean, you think every day, I mean, obviously you could have a go at agricultural corporations and companies for exploiting people and this bit and that. But usually don't follow. I mean, like how much your food is generally probably not a huge product of like mass exploitation necessarily. But yeah, those kind of luxury products that are expensive, that are status symbols.
Unless you're buying food from Walmart. Then it's definitely exploiting people.
Yeah, then you're definitely contributing to the war in the Congo. But you're right, I think, yeah.
I just meant exploiting people, but yeah, maybe that too.
But you know, I think you're absolutely right there. I think drugs are important. Prostitution, sex trafficking, all very linked to that. Yeah, rare trade and rare minerals, especially from places like in Africa where there's less... at the moment, there's less sort of rule of law and substantial international law and prosecution to actually come down people who make profit and continue war because of these very functionless fascinations of ours.
Yeah, no, definitely. All right, so let's move on to our next topic. So our next topic for tonight is, we've all been going through the end of term exams here at UBC.
Yeah, they're over as of today, I think.
Oh, is it? Yeah, because you had your last one today, right?
I had my last one this morning.
Nice. I had mine 2 days ago, and I literally skipped out of the exam room. I was in such a good mood.
Yeah, I actually used the bathroom, so I just kind of ran home.
So my last question, second question, is, are exams an effective way to test people?
I think... quick answer, yes. I think that they're reasonable, if nothing else. Every teacher, every different sort of class has its different way. Usually every class, for most of it, has an exam. Usually a written exam or one that's perhaps multiple choice or short answer or long form essay writing. But that might be mixed in with lots of other term papers or weekly assignments or midterm examinations. So ultimately, the cost of an exam can vary depending on your class and professor. Sometimes they can be worth half of your grade for the entire semester. Sometimes they can be worth perhaps 20% or 15%, depending. I'd say that they're reasonable. The idea is that in at least an essay-based or short-answer-based examination, you're prompted with a topic or a question that is pertinent and relevant to what you've been studying, and you do your best to use the information you've learned to apply critical thinking your own perspective, and just regurgitate as well, to some degree, what you've learned to prove to the professor that you have actually been learning.
Yeah, but I think it also depends on the topic as well, because, like, for example, in my major, philosophy, there are several professors who don't give final exams.
Really?
Because as a subject, it isn't a subject that you should sort of rush or hastily make judgments on, and the real work is done in the deeper thought and the deeper sort of analysis and the really pulling apart, looking at counterexamples, cutting apart those counterexamples until you have a really strong case for whatever it is you're discussing. And doing that in an hour and a half, 2 hours, is just not how it should be done. So a lot of
especially when you have so much to try and memorize and to try to keep in your head, and then you get given a very narrow sort of prompt.
Yeah.
And all that information that you've now studied, half it, most of it, is now useless.
Yeah, I mean, one nice thing about the vague prompts is that you can then use that opportunity to show what you do know. And, you know, if it's vague enough, then you can really take it off in a different tangent. I mean, we discussed this the other day with, we had the same test, a Phil 240 poli-sci 240
yeah,
test.
Poly, yeah,
And the test was simply a meme of Vladimir Putin with the phrasing, is it time for a Soviet reunion? So we had the exact same test, and I wrote this entire essay about how Putin was building a sort of Eastern Bloc idea with a few countries outside of the EU there, and I was trying to build up a sort of competitor to the American and EU economies. And then you did something completely different.
I used the meme as to advocate a style of popular, of weak and banal, but popular protest, essentially, of the weapons of the weak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you couldn't got two more disparate essays
Which is actually, I find hilarious, because you've taken the poli-sci international relations aspect, which I study, and I've taken the slightly more philosophical aspect, which
yeah.
you study.
Yeah, so there you go. I think there is certain aspects. One of the weird things about testing is that, like, for example, you take your final exams after med school and things like that. Like, the pass rate for it, I think, is around something like, you have to get like 70% or something like that. But it's kind of funny when you think about it. You're like, okay, so a doctor can like be qualified, but have like 30% of their knowledge. As
they could have made
like
49%, like 49 mistakes out of 100.
Yeah,
and they're fine. You know, they're qualified. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a bit peculiar, but that's the reality of any professional, learning, and you're always having to reinforce what base knowledge you do have.
Do you think certain subjects, perhaps depending on their perhaps application, should be graded, or the pass rate should be differentiated depending? So yeah, if you suddenly become a doctor, in a way, I don't want necessarily it to be so hard that no one gets to be a doctor, because I think there's lots of people who can be doctors and fulfill simpler issues without having to be absolute experts. But at the same time, yeah, if your fail is like 49% or 50%, and you're the doctor who's now qualified, you've got 51, meaning they got 49 or out of 100 like wrong, or that sort of equivalent ratio. Yeah, that doesn't make me that doesn't fulfill me fill me with confidence in the fact that this person I'm dealing with. Of course, you wouldn't know what the person got as a score, but yeah, might have only just avoided flunking this course.
Yeah,
whereas philosophy, like, because it's so there's so much to it and so many ways you can think about and critically analyze it. In a way, like, it'd be difficult to do badly, in a way.
It really is, and not being funny, but it kind of is, in a sense, in that if you do the readings and you are good at writing essays and you understand an argument must have your thesis, and then you have a piece of evidence for it, and then you explain the evidence that backs up your original claim. If you do those three things, and then you counter-argue it with some vaguely, you know, rational points, and then you conclude, like, that is all you need to do for, you know, 90% of the testings. Like, it's really quite straightforward. There's definitely been courses where I've kind of just, you know, got through on the fact that I can write an intelligent essay.
You have English ability and you were there, and so you can, like, yeah, pull apart and criticize.
Yeah,
things.
I remember what he was harping on about for the last 11 weeks in some vague sense. So, yeah, I mean, it's funny, but
I wonder, though, I mean, so I heard recently from, I think, a friend of mine, I believe it was in Russia, that I think the university exams, or maybe the upper high school exams, the university pre-exams, the course is only measured in one single examination, and that's an oral examination.
Really?
Yeah, so you attend the course, whatever, you take your notes, you research, you do what you need to, and then in the year, the teacher sits down with you for maybe 20 minutes or something like that, and gives you a prompt, give you a couple of prompts, and then you just talk to the professor about that. It still retains the time limit scenario that our exams here do, which I'm not a huge fan of, but I understand why they're necessary, because there's so many students, and you kind of students taking 6 hours for an exam.
And having, like, good pace to your work is an important aspect of any profession.
Yeah, I mean, I write slowly, unfortunately, so I tend to get a little bit jittery. I'm like, I wish I could have, like, you know, half an hour extra, but whatever. I mean, in the end, I guess that's my problem. It retains that, but totally throws out the window any idea of being able to take 2 minutes to organize your thoughts, sit down, you have a prompt in front of you, you go, okay, I'm going to say X, Y, and Z, this is how I'm going to organize it, and then you jump in, and then you're right. Whereas there, it's like, I think you might be able to take a minute just to sort of collect your thoughts, but then it is very just sort of stream of consciousness, essentially, which, on the one hand, I feel like should be graded a bit easier, I feel.
Yeah, doing the same thing.
Yeah, and does allow you to sort of hit those key points in a way that the professor can go, oh, okay, I can understand that the point you're making, that you're regurgitating or analyzing one of the things I taught you. Whereas in an essay, if you get some of the wording wrong, you can't just go, let me just re-spin that again, because you only have one chance. And if you've written it in a bit of a confusing way, the prof doesn't get it, then, like, you don't stand a chance unless he can make sense of what follows or what preceded it. So I feel like there are some advantages maybe in the fact that you might be able to get away with presenting your understanding a bit more clearly, and I mean to worry or be defeated by simple mistakes in syntax or grammar as you're speeding through an exam, trying to write out in your tepid handwriting because you've been writing for like 45 minutes, an hour and 45 minutes. So, but obviously one exam at the end of the year, though, that'd be pretty stressful.
Yeah. I mean, I do like when courses have, midterms and essays, so that your final is then worth like 30%, 25%. Like, I think that is a good way of doing it because, you've learned things throughout the course and you've shown that you're engaged throughout the course. You deserve to pass the course, even if you struggle with, you know, a cumulative final exam, which can be tough. It's funny because you always have to think, like, well, how does this transfer over to the profession and professional world and in careers? And, like, it isn't like your work is given to you ever again in that sort of way where you have to prove everything at once, that you know everything at once. You're always working step by step then, and, you know, and breaking down your work into manageable amounts. And so it is a very unauthentic sort of version of what the real world is like.
Yeah.
But you have to separate those who should be at university from those who should be doing something else. Like, those who didn't
put in the effort and don't deserve the credit.
I'm not just saying on intelligence. I'm talking about work ethic. I'm talking about just determination to get it done. So at the moment, it's the best we have. And good luck trying to come up with something better, I think.
Yeah.
All right, let's play a song, and we'll come back. So our next tonight is going to be Painted Fruit with Cheap Motel.
Another night in a cheap motel.
All right, there you go. That was Shearwater with Pale Kings off their self-titled album, Shearwater. So, our next topic for tonight on the White Noise After Show is inspired by a something I saw shared by millions of people. And the main sort of point was it was by this girl, a self-claiming millennial, and she's parked at the side of the road and decided to record this very important video where she suggests that as a...
Do it on her phone.
On her phone.
So like she's like got the phone out pointing at her face.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she
classic.
She records this thing and it's this whole spiel about how our generation are just existing. We're apathetic. We are unmotivated. We are disrespectful to our elders. We are, you know, we're disenfranchised, and we're all hedonists. Sort of, you know, is basically what she was suggesting, and yeah. So, what do you think? Before I say anything, what do you think about these thoughts?
Let's plead the fifth. No, I mean. I don't see a lot of truth in that. I mean, I think it's easy in this internet era to, as we've kind of discussed before, I think it's easy to think you're doing a lot or to convince yourself you're doing something good or useful sort of online, through online sort of social initiatives, the results of which actually could be quite negligible perhaps, or maybe not. I mean, they could be perhaps reasonably successful. But I think because a lot of our focus on socialization, communication goes to the internet, I think it's easy to become perhaps a bit more static in the way we do things than necessarily very proactive in a physical sense. That doesn't mean that what we do, like how we perceive things mentally and what we want to achieve remains static, because I think people still desire things. And I don't see anything in that that's particularly relevant to our generation as opposed to any other.
Well, what I think the big problem is that, well, A, she might just have shit friends and she's just hanging out with terrible people who aren't doing anything.
Or maybe she's that person herself.
Yeah,
Tiffany.
That's, you know, that could easily be the first,
yeah, oh, no doubt.
First reason. And the second thing is that she has a misconception of every other generation in that she seems to think that they were all out there, you know, protesting in the 60s. At Berkeley, and they were, you know, Rage Against the Machine in the 80s and blah blah blah. No, some people were. Most people weren't. Most people in every generation just do the 9 to 5. They have a job, they have kids, they have a wife, pay taxes, get on, you know, don't do anything to offend anybody, and just do what they do until they die. That is a typical life in the Western world, and
has been for a long, long time.
Yeah, and a lot of people do that, and then there are the few who choose to excel and dedicate their lives to their careers, whether it's in the sciences or in the arts. There are the few that will be exceptional, but that's not a discredit to everybody else either, in that we need people to be okay and to be content with just being who they are and what they were and living in the same town forever, because there isn't room for everybody to just excel and be exceptional. I mean, everyone can do something in their own way. They can be, whether it's if you go and donate your time to good causes, whether it's teaching children to play sport, or you, build homes for shelter for the homeless, whatever it is, like you can still be a good productive member of society, but the idea that we're all just existing, well, yeah, that's what every, you know, that's just reality, is that most people, that's basically all they can do, and that's fine. And what makes me partly kind of like roll my eyes at it is that she's like 25 and seems to think that she has a sense of what things were like before she was there at that age, and she can't possibly. So it's, yeah, it's just that, you know, it's the idea that we're also more disrespectful and all those sort of things is, again, an illusion.
He's like, speak for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, we are more accepting as a society. There's less hate crimes than there's ever been. People, you know, there are certain groups that are persecuted worse than they were. But
Republicans.
But that's also a sort of generational thing, in that, you know, hopefully that will subside with time, as it has done for other groups. But for the most part, we're more accepting people than we've ever been. And we, you know, there's less violence towards each other. Drug use isn't higher than it's ever been. There's a better selection of drugs than there's ever been. But the actual consumption of them isn't as high as it was. So, yeah, I think she needs to just calm the fuck down, personally, and just be okay with it. You know, certain people will go on to do brilliant things. A lot of people won't, and that's okay.
Yeah, I totally agree. I also think, I mean, in some ways, maybe there's just, I mean, certainly in the Western Hemisphere, I think, I mean, broadly speaking, for most of the world as well, the standard of living has improved.
Yeah.
For like over the, like, it continues to improve over the last 60 years. I mean, since the end of World War II, essentially.
And more in certain countries than others.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but for the most part, most countries in the world are better off now than they were in the 50s. Again, like, there were large protests and large, because there's always, I mean, society is always divided into three people. People who fulfill the status quo and work within the system to excellence or just to contentedness. People who escape the system because they can't stand it. And people who revolt against the system and try to change it. So there's always those three people. And there's people, you can, they're everywhere and all the time. It's timeless. I think, yeah, because we have a higher standard of living, and perhaps one could argue there's more perhaps manipulation of the media, bits and pieces. But there seems to be less to protest about, less to necessarily get, like, to be really proactive about. And of course, one could argue you could find causes anywhere that people should care about. And there's truth to that, but also there's a relative distance kind of thing and a detachment. Like, in America, there's always something in the news, but there's probably not a lot to really, really, really get up in arms about, as there might have been years ago. I think, again, yeah, touching on the point as well, social media makes it easier to now stay at home and still fight the man a little bit. But that doesn't mean that people are necessarily less proactive. It just means that they're doing things in a different sort of channel. People are still revolting against the system. People are still trying to escape the system and cheat the system. And there are people, as you suggested, yeah, who are happy to go through their lives, doing what they want, making themselves happy, not offending anyone. That still continues to exist. So I feel like, yeah, I mean, as you say, I totally agree with your points that she has this. I'm glad she cares. Like, I'll say that much. But at the same time, yeah, I think it's a somewhat myopic and really sort of many assumptions are that she hasn't been critical towards at all.
No,
she's really,
and
just
I just think
taking them on face value.
It's rather insulting to suggest that everybody is apathetic based on her anecdotal evidence of it. Like, you know, who the hell are you?
Was she blonde?
That's not relevant.
Kidding.
All right, so any final words, sir, before we say goodnight?
Fun drive's still going on, don't it?
It's not. All right, so we're going to leave you with, I'm going to play two tracks. After this first track, we're going to play The Perverts with Ivory, which is our 15 for 15, which is a really kick-ass album out of Victoria of all local stuff. So check that out if you can. But before that, I'm going to play a track by an artist that I have recently sort of been obsessed with. And she's just amazing and quirky and like sort of like does this mixture of sort of folk and indie.
Be a great band name, Passive Obsession. I think it'd be a killer band name.
Sure. The one I'm going to leave you with tonight is by an artist called Soko. And this is off her, I think it was from 2007. And it's called, the album's called Not So Cute. Playing on her name, and it's called I Will Never Love You More. So we'll be back next week with another half hour sketch comedy.
Which episode will it be?
Episode 45. 45.
So that means in 6 weeks time we'll be hitting the big 50.
No, because I'm away for a week.
You're heading back to other places.
Yeah.
So come the end of the summer, by the end of August, I imagine, we'll reach 60, which in usual television terms means syndication, essentially.
Oh, yeah. We're just waiting for that syndication letter to come through. We'll be on CBC soon, you know, sixing it up on the CBC.
No, that's not a shared activity. One person in his room, maniac.
Yes, that's probably the preferred method. All right, so this is I'll Never Love You More. Have a good night. Thank you.
your flaming lips. I will never love you more than Woody Allen movies. I will never love you more than the White Album of the Beatles. I will never love you more than God only knows. I will never love you more than DVD's night with my girlfriend, when we talk about stupid things like feelings and men. I will never love you more than my boyfriend when I was 14, even if he's now an asshole. I will never love you more. And you say you love me more than everything, and compared to me, everything is nothing. I will never love you more than meeting Paul McCartney, when we asked him to play a song on my ukulele. I will never love you more than my Scandinavian tour, which was more than paradise, I wish you remember it too. I will never love you more than dancing to Phil Spector. I will never love you more than my Casio tone keyboard. I will never love you more than Daniel Johnston himself, who for me is more than God. No, I will never love you more. And you say you love me more than everything, and compared to me, everything is nothing. Oh, this is sweet. I just wonder what it means. You say you love me more than all the girls you had before, even more than music, even more than yourself, even more than everything. But it's just a lie. So I will never love you more than anything. I will never love you more than singing in the shower. I will never love you more than my Mac computer. I will never love you more than having a daughter. I will never love you more than peanut butter. I will never love you more than kisses all day. I will never love you more than cuddles all night. I will never love you more than kissing girls' lips when they're really pretty. No, I will never love you more. I will never love you more.
Right around exam time and had to get that prescription,
While you're packing up your life, you'll probably come across some unused or expired meds that helped you get through the cramming for that one last test. You need to make sure you return all drugs to the local pharmacy for proper disposal. Don't throw it out and don't flush it down the drain. The pharmacy is the easiest and safest place to return any unwanted drugs. Help to reduce misuse and safely keep drugs out of our environment. This message is brought to you by the health products industry.